What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
We begin hour two, and we'll get to a call here. Someone's got a couple questions for us. We'll see where this goes. I mentioned the Texans just need to get to the game against Buffalo, and Josh Allen's coming to town earlier. And this was off the back of reading that Braden Smith went down with an injury, had to be carted off the field. Just get to the week one without being decimated by injuries. Well, the man they'll have to face, who I don't particularly enjoy playing football because he just tortures the team I root for the most part, and also the whole Haley Steinfeld thing. Josh Allen talked about something. We actually can find common ground. Okay, you love Haley Steinfeld. I get that. That's common ground. I get it. But also, the grass versus turf thing. I've got numerous burns on my legs from artificial turf that hurt to the point where I can't sleep at night. Good, I'm glad you have restless nights, or sleepless nights, excuse me. But beyond that point, he goes, if I could snap my fingers and make every field grass, that's what I would do. Look at me and Josh Allen coming to common accord. He's right about that.
Yeah.
Me and Josh agreeing on something. Grass everywhere.
And
the new stadium has grass.
It is especially wild
in Buffalo
after this summer of like, oh yeah, they can just like put grass in all these places. I get to do it for whatever, 2 months during the summer.
Yeah.
Is different than especially during the winter, you know, winter in Buffalo. I imagine it's pretty tricky to keep grass looking
but they're
beautiful.
They're gonna try.
Yes.
This year.
But I think it does galvanize the NFL players' cause. When they can do that, it's like, okay, so you literally are just like MetLife. You're ripping up the turf to put in grass and then ripping up the grass to put in turf. Like, all right,
stop.
Sweet.
Yeah,
thanks.
Stop leaning into, hey, our testing says there's not a major difference. In fact, it might be better on field turf. You want to tell us about money because you want to host other events there. Okay, at least that's the truth.
Yeah.
If every NFL owner said, we'd rather have Olivia Rodrigo in our building for a two-night stay as opposed to and then having to put down grass again because she rips it up.
Yeah.
I'm good with that over, it's just the same. Grass and turf the same. But Josh Allen had some sleepless nights because of burns. Now he doesn't have to worry about it, at least for 8 games a year.
Yeah, there you go.
They're putting grass in Buffalo and also railings to obstruct the view of their patrons when they're trying to watch the games.
hey, that's not a Josh Allen doesn't get
it. Yeah, it's not about Josh Allen. That's just about how you design a stadium that looks like a bedpan. If you've seen the new Highmark,
it does look
like a bedpan.
Some points for not making it a dome, but also you made it look like a bedpan.
Yeah, there are other ways you could have got that done. Let's get to La Raza here. He's the one with a couple questions for us. What's up, La Raza?
Hey, good morning, Dale. Good morning, Sean. How are you gentlemen doing this morning, man?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, I just had a side question. Has anybody checked in your resident caller, Julian, lately?
He called in.
Is he all right?
He called in this morning, but he didn't get on air. He wanted to talk about Jed York, but he's apparently okay.
Okay, because I know since he's a Niners fan, I know they're going to give a new definition or meaning to the term Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Well, there is more information on that. We'll get to that since you brought it up. But you had one That's one question. What's your other question?
The other question is, this is a serious one. The SEC has decided to ban athletes to come back into the SEC. So do you think these athletes that are want to join the SEC conference might go to another conference? Because if they don't work out in the pro, they can go back to that conference like the Big Ten or the Big East or whatever you want to call them. Do you think that they'll attract more of the athletes to go to another conference instead of the SEC?
You know, I'll answer your question. It's always off-putting when you ask a serious question. It's a little odd, I would say. Because
yeah,
normally it's about, hey, Dell, did you see this name of this player that you'll never say and I can't say? Like that tied in with the name Luke. But he did ask a serious question. Well, it doesn't look like they're going to have the option because the other conferences are right in line with what the SEC is doing. If you missed it, and I mentioned it before we ended hour one, that the SEC is putting in provisions to keep players who either previously declared for the NFL, signed a contract with an NFL or other professional football league team, or been listed on an NFL roster from rejoining or just joining the conference and playing football. That is something that was voted on by, I guess, presidents or chancellors / athletic directors to a 16-0 vote. So it was unanimous. You may guess that LSU's representative just went along with the tide after realizing that no one else was going to vote to allow it to happen. And the other conferences are right along with them. Somehow, some way, the Power Four conferences who can't agree on anything, you know, like deciding how the national championship will go, have decided this is something, because it has full public support, it's pretty easy to go, you know what? If you were in Brown's camp, you can't play for us. That's an easy win when it comes to the public's opinion of watching a guy catch passes and warm-ups before a preseason game and then showing up on LSU's campus and playing for them in week one against Clemson. That's an easy win. So they got that one out of the way. As it stands now, there will be a fight from those players in question. Looks like they're trying to get the injunction. We know how Lane Kiffin feels about it. If it ain't us, it would be someone else. So he said he was simply going by the rules of the land. And if it's allowable, we're going to try to take advantage of it. We will see if those players get a favorable court ruling, which has kind of been the way for players, unless your name is Joey Aguilar, when it comes to stuff like this. So as it stands now, those players can't play and they can't go play any place else. We'll see if the courts agree with how major conferences are handling it.
If I was like the Mountain West or the Pac-12, I'd be like, come on.
Do they have the money to pay these guys? Like, if you are
Do you want to not get paid and not play football, or do you want to get paid a little bit?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be on a practice? You can go back to a practice squad with the Browns. The NFL is theoretically always still there.
If you're Fresno State, does the tight end from Ole Miss, is he worth it to you, I guess is the question. Much is he asking for?
I have to assume he'd be, if not the best player, one of the best players on their team.
I'm not even pushing back on it. But do you even want to be involved in this? Because I think, who was it that, was it Marcus Freeman? I forgot who talked about how it's a bit of a complicated issue and it's a little late in the game.
Yeah, for academics. Yeah,
yeah, well, he's at Notre Dame. He's got to sell the whole academic side of it. Notice Lane Kiffin didn't mention academics at all.
Other than
Marcus Freeman. Hey, Marcus, cut it out. We get it. You coach at Notre Dame. We get it. All right? Stop. Yeah, I know it's important to you. Stop it.
You know, syllabuses have already been handed out. Yeah, how are these guys going to catch up?
I mean, all the reading, the summer reading, how are they going to be in line with all their classmates? Same way all the other Notre Dame football players are in line with all their classmates. They're getting a lot of help.
Yeah. I just think, especially for like one of these group of conferences, the non-power, even Power Four, like
Fresno State signs
make a splash.
Harris and Wright play for them.
Pac-12, you know, either Pac-12 or Mountain West, like, hey, differentiate yourself from the other West Coast conference.
We're allowing everyone.
Yeah. Hey, come on in.
If you got cut week one,
we don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If
Sterling Shepard, you want to play for us?
Did you play 5 years? Now, there are some rules. You have to be part of a certain class. So
2022.
Yeah, I saw Kellen Mond go, I still got a year left. No one won. Sit down. All right. No one's looking for you. We saw you in college. You're okay.
Let's go to Mike Zimmer for comment, huh?
Yeah, what is Mike Zimmer? Yeah, if we go by Mike, what Mike Zimmer thought, no one's bringing you on. But as it stands now, it doesn't look like those guys are going to be able to play for anyone unless, as Sean mentioned, a couple of the lesser conferences as far as their status go rogue and go, you know what?
Get welcome. Your name out there.
Welcome.
Again, these guys.
Where's Diego Pavia doing? What does Colorado State need a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are looking for a spot to play. Eventually, you know.
I mean, the way Quinn Ewers is playing, he may wanna test the water someplace.
High school class of 2020. All right.
Ah, too old.
No, yeah, 2020.
Yeah. Although Quinn did his part in all this where he goes, you know what? I'm going to leave early. I'm going to leave high school early and go play at Ohio State.
Collect a check,
and then actually play for the school I wanted to play for. But because at the time it wasn't allowable for him to go earn money in high school yet, he wanted to go play college football early at Ohio State. Right? That's how it went down?
Yeah. Yeah.
He left school.
Reclassified
to go get paid at Ohio State.
Yeah, because you can't sign NIL deals in high school, or at least at the time. I don't know what the rule is now, but high school players can't sign NIL deals.
So Quinn made his money. He's one of the guys you look to and go, how do I make this work for me? He's one of the first to do it. We would call him a trailblazer.
It is. He was one of the initial bad guys in college football. Like he was in Gen 1 of let's get this paper, and which ultimate twist, he could have played for some college football team instead of being a seventh round pick.
He was a guy who people were offering a lot of money to. Now Texas, despite leading them to two semifinals in a row, they had a guy they needed to get in there. So that move was made.
Yeah.
But he could have played in
He could have been Dylan Gabriel.
He could have been Carson Beck. It would have been the same home stadium, but the Canes would have paid him before they paid Carson Beck. Mm-hmm. But instead he wanted to go play in the pros and
didn't want to ruin his legacy as a Longhorn.
That is the words of Ty Simpson. Turns out, worked out for him. He was drafted in the first round. This show openly scoffed at that legacy, alleged legacy at Alabama, getting drilled by Indiana, not even finishing the game in that Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
But it worked out for him. First round pick.
Quinn Ewers higher in the 21st century quarterback power rankings of Texas than Ty Simpson is at Alabama.
Definitely.
By a lot.
Despite all the things surrounding Quinn Ewers' tenure and the hype and maybe not living up as far as performance on the field, despite the team success, Ty Simpson, get out of here! Get out of here! Didn't even finish the game.
Yeah, I and now they're hyped for the new guy that
Keelan Russell.
Yeah, Russell
that
beat out Austin Mack.
That speaks to something we will get to now because I kept talking about it over the last couple of days. The SEC, their quarterbacks, at least their QB1s, have been decided in some prominent spots. Keelan Russell out of Duncanville. He wins that job. He beats out Austin Mack, who played in that blowout in the Rose Bowl. He came in for Ty Simpson in that game. He doesn't win the job. It goes to Keelan Russell. Vanderbilt makes a surprise pick. Jarrett Curtis, the five-star who was originally committed to Georgia, and then he watched Vanderbilt and all their success. He's a Nashville kid, decided to go to Vanderbilt. He loses his job to someone named Blaze Berlowitz. We'll see how long Blaze has that job.
Great quarterback. Man.
There are a lot of people going, boy, this is stupid, because there's just the assumption that the five-star wouldn't want to sit behind a Blaze Berlowitz. Look, if he's a backup quarterback, he's going to play this year. That's whether it be through blowout or just Blaze Berlowitz not being any good. Jarrett Curtis will play for Vanderbilt this year.
Yeah, or injury. Like,
yeah.
This is where I'm old school of like, hey, five-star – you can sit to start your first season. Like, true freshman, I don't need true freshman to start week one.
It's already been said, but he will play.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, to me, any true freshman losing the job in camp, I'm not, like, shocked. Like, there is, like, I think I told you off air earlier this week, like, when the news broke, like, Trevor Lawrence didn't start week one for Clemson. They rolled out with Kelly Bryant for half a season. Like, this is just, I don't know. It's never shocking to me when the five-star quarterback doesn't win the job out of camp, because as the coach, you can always kind of keep that in the back pocket of like, hey, if we need a boost in one of these games, throw him out there.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt starts with Austin Peay, so there's a real shot that we're going to see Jarrett Curtis early for whatever reason. Maybe Berlewitz stinks, or they're blowing them out, and Curtis will get on the field. So I at the time, as I watched people react to it, thought it was overblown, considering how these things generally go, particularly if the five star is as good as people think he will be. And he's a Nashville kid, so that certainly will help in any fear that he might dip out. And Vanderbilt's going to play him. And there's no reason not to.
Especially, at the very least, by like Halloween, like no matter how their season goes, they're probably going to have to roll him out there. Unless they're 7-0, like they're going to roll him out.
And their in-state rival made a decision. They actually will start a true freshman.
Yeah.
Faison Brandon will win that job over George McIntyre. This is the Tennessee team that had Joey Aguilar last year. Joey Aguilar fought to get another year. An actual judge that went to Tennessee said, nah, not happening.
We're good, fam.
Because this show is stupid, we just thought he was tired of watching Joey Aguilar play for his Tennessee Volunteers and said no.
He donated to the Faison Brandon NIL fund.
Look, I got a guy who I actually want to see play every Saturday, and it ain't Joey Aguilar, so you go find another thing to do as opposed to being able to play for Tennessee. So that decision has been made. And you mentioned the fund for Faison Brandon. He does not make the list of the highest paid quarterbacks in college football. I don't know how much he's getting paid, but according to On3, and these are all speculated on, you don't really know the official numbers because I guess those don't have to be revealed.
Particularly not a spot tracker.
Yeah, particularly if it's a private school, you don't have to reveal that. Maybe Pete Nakos got Darian Mintz's tax returns. Who knows? But Darian Mintz, $6 million plus, not even just six flat. He is saying $6 million plus for Darian Mintz, the new Miami quarterback who on the last day of the transfer portal said, I want to play at Miami. There was a bit of a fight. Duke tried to fight it because they said they had an agreement with Darian Mintz. Went to court. It was not Miami versus Duke. It was Duke versus Mintz. They came to some agreement. I don't know the totality of that, but they came to an agreement that Duke said, okay, we're not going to fight this anymore. You can go. Miami said, we'll take your best wide receiver too while we're at it. So those two teams will play each other, but not at Duke, so Mintz doesn't have to worry about a LeBron-like reception when he goes back to Wallace Wade as an ACC champion. What if it was back at Duke? What they should have done is wait to reveal the ACC title banner when Mintz and Barkate come back to school. You know, big contributors to it. Hey, honor them. Honor those two guys with Duke ACC title rings and reveal the banner. Get everyone excited about the return. But instead, the gods of college football don't allow it. It's in Miami. You know what? Jim Phillips of the ACC, step in. Like Greg Sankey has carte blanche to keep a guy ineligible. Flip the schedule. You want must-see TV? Send those guys back. But it is a Duke football game. It ain't actually basketball. So who knows how the crowd would react. Probably will depend on how good that Manny Diaz team is. But, yeah, Mensa number one at $6 million plus. Dante Moore at five. He's tied with Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss. Sam Levitt, former Arizona State quarterback now with Lane Kiffin at LSU, is 4.5. Then you got Josh Hoover taking over for Fernando Mendoza at Indiana at 4.5. Then Damon Williams, who would have been the LSU quarterback, until Washington said, oh, you think you're leaving?
This contract's airtight.
Yeah. He stayed at Washington for $4 million. Andrew Messemaker, the former UNT quarterback, North Texas, Oklahoma State, is making $3.5 million. So those are your top paid quarterbacks in college football. This year, we will see if those numbers are used against them, depending on how well or bad they play.
First interception, Josh Hoover throws.
If I see a Mensa pick to some random Stanford quarterback early in that game, guess what I'm going
to
do?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the way to get on this list is to either be a transfer, like a high-level transfer, or to
threaten.
To spur, or yeah, threaten like in Damon Williams' case, or to spurn the NFL draft, being the second quarterback taken in this year's NFL draft, in more in shambles.
Or win a court case in the friendly confines of a Mississippi courthouse, and then you get $5 million, too, from Ole Miss. There are a lot of ways to do it, but quarterbacks, as we know in the NFL level, if you got one, you want to keep one and pay them a lot of money. Yeah. It is the same way in college football, except there's no rules where you can keep them. They can leave at any point. And if you look at it, all of them are, except for Damon Williams, transfers.
Yeah.
Like, Chambliss came from, like, Delta State, so it's a little different. But the other guys...
Yeah, they all did transfer.
Except for Damon Williams, all guys who came from power... Well, Messerbaker came from not a Power 4 school, but most of the list from Power 4 schools left. Some of them were successful. Others, like Dante Moore, didn't have a great freshman year at UCLA. Sat, and he has been rewarded for that. But guys don't generally start at one school, remain there, and then leave, or excuse me, and then get paid that type of money. It's a lot of, hey, I'm leaving to get this cash someplace else.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, all the guys, or not all the guys, but the next names that you're like, really, this guy's not on this list? It's like all guys that, like, just stayed the entire time, you know? Like, it's Manning, Reed, Underwood,
yeah.
Maiava, although Maiava might be, and CJ Carr might be private school.
Some of it you may not know, yeah.
Shroudness, but like, you know, Bryce Underwood, Julian Sayin, like all these guys are incumbents.
Seems like they're still working on whatever they're given coming out of high school as opposed to re-upping. Or maybe that's just being kept private. We may never know. J-Dog, hold to the break. We'll get to you when we come back. And anyone else, you can join us, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get the J-Dog here, but I did want to give you what the SEC will do to any member institution who plays one of the players who either declare for the draft and then officially withdraw, sign a pro contract. And this goes across the NBA, the NFL, G League, or the WNBA, So it appears the SEC isn't doing the whole, these guys are ineligible. What they're going to do is say, if you happen to play one of these players, this is what happens to you. Half a season suspension for head coaches. SEC voting privileges revoked on business matters for the school in violation of the rule. A hefty fine. 50% of that sport's annual operating budget. And the league retains the right to levy other penalties by Greg Sankey and or presidents, chancellors, if necessary. So if the first three aren't enough, we got stuff in our back pocket we can hit you with. So I guess when Sean asks, how is this legal, particularly if a court is ruled in the player's favor, hey, we're not going to rule you ineligible. If a team wants to play you, they can. But this is what happens if they do play you, which makes you unplayable. I don't know how the courts will look at that, but that's how I'm sure. I know the SEC has their own lawyers, and they work with them on this to work around a particular ruling from a judge.
And the fact that they agreed to this.
And everyone in the conference agreed to it.
Like, yes. I don't think they'll ever have to enforce these punishments. That'd be crazy. It would be Lane Kiffin going rogue on everyone, including his higher-ups, but... yeah, I think this it was a nice, 4 days of hysteria. We really needed it in the midst of preseason. Get us to week zero.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, this will not be a problem. I'm glad we all spent so much time talking about it.
I'm just glad that the football will actually begin.
Yeah. I'm glad Paul Feinbaum got three different social media clips out of it. Yeah, that's huge.
So is ESPN. Let's get to J-Dog here. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Philly? What's going on, Philly? Hey, it's been a minute since I called in, but I know it's been a while. Congratulations on the show. I chime in and out. Says my boy LaRocca put me on to the show of shows. We were working back together about 10 years. That being said, drafting, I totally agree with Josh Allen. I feel like this Reliant is Reliant again. They at least need to try to bring back a Skipway 419 or whatever Bermuda grass they can, because they're using the FIFA grass in Buffalo. That is the Kentucky Blue grass. Number two is, I feel you, Bill, on the Notre Dame thing. I'm with you. And number three, from a Ravens fan, I'm a Ravens fan because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. They went to Miami. I don't know if you remember, but I'm a Canes fan, too. I went down there for the national championship. People ask me, how did I become a Canes fan in order to be a Ravens fan? Well, Bill, I was born as Hurricane Andrew was making landfall, so it just naturally happened.
Wow. Okay.
So
wow.
That being said, what do you think it's going to be? Say that one more time.
No, I was just acknowledging you were born during Hurricane Andrew.
Yeah, as it was making landfall. So the paraphernalia being around when I seen it going up and just watching more TV, it just naturally happened. So that being said, what do you think we're going to do this year? And I actually agree with the whole thing not letting players come back, because once you go to the NFL and get NFL coaching, there's a little nuances and little, like, tips you get, and you can go back and dominate in college. So you have NFL coaches, and then you're going to play an 18-, 19-year-old kid who is just getting into, you know, the collegiate level. Okay, you just want to practice against Denzel Ward, and then you're going to practice against DJ Pickett, who's coming. You know, like, yeah. So I understand that, but I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it. So a lot of things there. I did not know what type of grass the Buffalo Bills are using. The FIFA grass. And it's different because we watch these games over in Europe, where when the NFL goes over there, and the grass is different, and it kind of comes up because of the different athletes and different ass of an athlete in the NFL versus soccer. So if they are using that FIFA grass, it'll be interesting to see how that holds up when it comes to the rigors of what an NFL game does to surfaces, because it does get very scientific about what grass should be played or used for what field. So that'll be interesting to see, for me at least, because I am grass only if I had my way when it came to football. Texas, get on that, by the way. Get off the field turf, Texas. You play in Texas.
Next offseason,
I think. And, an offseason too late. Four off seasons too late, honestly.
Like 20.
Yeah, what are we doing?
But yeah, it also, the Texas turf is it's crazy walking on it.
How hot,
like,
it is?
Yeah, and be like, people play football on this in September.
Yeah. And they'll
so
do
it's wild.
And they'll do it again this September. I mean, hopefully for the last time.
We talked about how many millions are being spent on these players.
And they, you still throw them out there on that field.
It's like, I don't know. It's like there's like a squish to it, too. It's so crazy.
It's odd, yeah. And the Texans will at least it'll be inside for them. And Josh Allen. Sorry, Josh. It'll have to be on turf, at least your first game.
Unless, maybe that's why.
Unless Goodell steps in.
Twice stinks every time.
He can't stink. Well, he plays in turf. His whole career was playing on turf. There's no explanation for that other than the Texans dominate him. Okay, as far as the Canes, their quarterback will be better. I think they'll be more dynamic offensively because of the receivers they brought in. And then Malachi Toney still exists, certainly. The offensive line is going to be younger, less experienced. They, at least from camp reports, are expected to be a good run-blocking unit early. They'll have to grow into be a pass-blocking unit. Not that Stanford's going to give them much of a test. Their schedule lays out where there's not a lot of tests on that schedule. You have to bake in the, hey, aren't you still coached by Mario Cristobal? As far as a potential trap game, although because of Mario's history, even despite the playoff run, every game you look at and go, your team's better is looked at as a trap game for the general public because they're just waiting for another Mario disaster.
Yeah, they have 10 trap games.
Yeah, if you look at the schedule, which just says they should be – they may not be favored going to Clemson, but that all depend on what Clemson is at the time. That could be a game where they're favored as well if Clemson is not having a good year. But on its face, at least 10 games of the 12 they'll be favored in. And if Clemson's not any good – that'll be 11. And then the 12th one is at Notre Dame, and all the stuff from last year that'll build up going into that game if they're both really good. Notre Dame will feel like they were hard done, although Miami had nothing to do with it. Not their fault. They beat you, and then the committee, because of Miami's struggles in the middle of the year, kept Notre Dame ahead of them until the final week of voting. That ain't Miami's problem, but it'll be looked at as Miami doing that to Notre Dame. So that'll add to that matchup. And also expected to be two top 10 teams. And at the time of that game, because of Miami's schedule, and Notre Dame has a schedule that isn't very tough, they do have BYU on it, so that could be something for them to worry about. That could be two top five teams just because there wasn't a lot on their schedule to give them a loss. Yeah. And who knows how high up they are in the rankings. So maybe a game of the year candidate. And beyond what happened last year, there's the history of that game. So I think they'll be pretty good. Josh Pate thinks they're winning a national title. So certainly the pundits think Miami can be good.
Print the T-shirts.
No. John and Lance may bow at the altar of Josh Pate.
You still got to prove it on the field.
Yeah. If he's right, I won't bow to him. I'll just go, hey, look, finally, you said something correct.
Hearty handshake.
Yeah, hey, nice job acknowledging how great my team is.
Yeah.
But that has to be played out.
Pate's got to have a tough handshake, too. He's got to put those muscles to good use when he shakes your hand, right? There's no way it's like, you know, Josh Pate, kind of.
You can't wear those shirts and put in that work in the gym
and
be limp-wristed.
Yeah, not try to Adrian Peterson.
Add a little extra to it to let everyone know that. Or maybe he's a DAP guy. I don't know what he does. He hangs around not because he likes it per se, but because of his job. He's around a lot of college kids. Is he shaking college kids' hands or is he dapping them up?
I'll have to check the tape.
Yeah, I don't know. Or it's a lot of, hey, Josh, I would love if he was just a wave and flyby guy.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Yeah,
break
stride.
Sorry, I'm talking to Cole Kubelik. I can't talk to you guys. Actually, now he's talking to Taylor Lewan and others.
Yeah, yeah.
Have they changed the name of that show yet?
No, it's still Bussin' and Pate.
What's that?
They're still Bussin' and Pate.
Jeez.
That's what they are.
I know the name. Why? Why would you come up with that name and stick with it?
I do think Miami, it's a little simplistic to do this, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a pendulum swing from last year's team closer to the Cam Ward season type of year where it's like that how they're going to win games is by pitching it all over the yard. Probably maybe not as dynamic as that team, although, you know.
If you just go –
Mensa's been – Mensa has basically treated his college career as like a video game of he starts at Tulane, kind of beats that level, goes to Duke, beats that level. Now he's at, a national finalist looking to get over the hump. So, every step of the way he's kind of cleared the hurdle. So maybe he is a guy that we're talking about as he was better than – he had a better season or is a better pro than Cam Ward. It's definitely not, out of the possibilities.
Well, they set records in 2024, partly because of – they had to because of how bad that defense was. So it'll be tough to reach those levels. You'll have a better team. Despite losing Reuben Bain, Akeem Ezidor, Keontae Scott, they do still have big-timers on the defensive front. They have Damon Wilson, who's now a Georgia and Missouri transfer. At Miami as a defensive end, Justin Scott was a five-star, came on late in the seasons, and their whole secondary is returning, so as long as they can defend a back shoulder fade against Indiana, which is the one thing they could not defend as far as that passing game was concerned, they'll be pretty good. It is one of the better teams in the country, but there are a lot of those, as we have a team in Austin who can make the claim that they're the most talented team in the country. Ohio State. Yeah, we all know the names. And then even in this city, the Cougs may not be a top-of-the-line contender for the title, but Willie Fritz has good years in year three, and this is a team in Houston who you should think and look at as why not us when it comes to making the playoff, particularly when it comes to winning the Big 12. So all those conversations will continue as we get closer. And then, sure, this first week is – a bit of an appetizer, and I was thinking, what type of appetizer? It's kind of just like chips and salsa. It's not bacon-wrapped shrimp.
I think it's like pretzels.
Oh, not even chips and salsa.
No.
You're talking about bar food, you think this weekend is?
Yeah, this is just enough to hold you over. I don't want to put the good name of chips and salsa on UNC TCU.
I wasn't going to call it Texas Roadhouse bread rolls.
No, definitely not. But you get pretty close, San Jose State versus USC, North Carolina, Virginia in a game that I still don't know. Is this an ACC game that counts or a non-conference ACC game? Because they love to do that. Stanford and Hawaii are kicking things off at six. It's not terrible, but there is a lot of FSU, New Mexico State.
It is an official conference game.
Okay, great.
It was originally planned to be part of a non-conference series. because they're going to play in Brazil. But when that trip, or at least game, but when that trip got canceled, the game moved to Charlottesville, and they got a special waiver. Now it counts. The SEC is stupid. Or excuse me, maybe they are, but I meant the ACC. The ACC is stupid for the way they have now decided to input tiebreakers. Hey, the strength of your season will determine if we can't determine it in our traditional tiebreakers. We'll just look at your season and go, hey, that was pretty good. You win the tiebreaker.
Because some teams play nine games. Yeah. Some teams play eight games.
And while I'm being glib, it's more there is an actual program, computer analytics that will determine how strong these seasons are. But this is in response to having Duke win the ACC title, not make the playoff. And it's maybe in some ways rooting against Virginia because you wanted the best shot for a team to go deep, and that was Miami. And there's a question, if Virginia had made it, would Miami have made it in?
Yeah.
And
bid stealer.
Yeah.
Bid steal against your own conference.
That's why the ACC is stupid, and I don't know that what they did to fix it is any smarter. We'll go to break with that.
At least it's different.
It's different. We'll see if it comes into effect. If you're Miami, it's a bad year if they have to depend on a dumb tiebreaker considering what their schedule looks like. Anyone else want to get in? You can call about your favorite team. 713-780-3776 is the number to do that. We got about 20 minutes to go before we're done for the day. We will be back. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You know, it's not dumb getting a plumbing problem fixed, and the people to do that are the good people over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That company is owned by Billy Brown. He's made appearances at our parties before. I don't know if he's going to come to the listener appreciation party, but he's more than welcome to. Because not just because he's a good friend to John Lance, it's because he's a good friend to the people of Houston when it comes to anyone with a plumbing problem. You can call his company at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238 to get in touch with the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Get yourself a free quote, whether you need something to do with your water filters fixed or drain cleaning, or maybe you got some gas piping issues. They take care of all of that. And they'll give you an assessment for free. And then of course, it's down to business of fixing your problem. If it's a major job like a repipe, you can trust that you're dealing with Houston's premier repiping company. It says it right at the top of the website. It tells you they're the neighborhood favorite when it comes to that, according to Nextdoor. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com to check out all they have to provide. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Jeremy and Joe.
People are like, well, Brandon, you don't know anything about quarterbacking, even though I was once a college quarterback, 1-7 intramurals, brother.
1-7?
Yeah, what a great year. The next year we went 6-2, but I no longer play quarterback.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. Jeremy and Joe. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So we're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans here because practice is over with the Panthers. The Texans generally dominated that practice, particularly their defense. But we'll hear from D'Amico on Kayshon Booty. But as the fallout from these guys who signed with NFL teams and try to get back to college continues, CBS Sports is reporting that this just didn't happen by happenstance, where the NCAA had a ruling and then the players thought to themselves, hey, let's try to take advantage of this and go get paid to play college football again. CBS Sports is reporting that LSU and Lane Kiffin reached out to multiple players on NFL rosters or their representation in an effort to get them to bring the lawsuit against the NCAA and return to school. CBS Sports also notes that LSU has had conversations with others who remain in NFL camps ahead of the league's cut day on August 30th. So they're actively tampering with NFL rosters. You thought the level of dirtiness and cheating only was a college-to-college thing. LSU has decided to call and tamper with NFL rosters.
If you're an NFL team, you have to worry
about Lane Kiffin and LSU. If you think, like, if you picked up a guy in the seventh round, you're like, hey, maybe we got a gem here. You have to worry about LSU noticing that he was only drafted in the seventh round and going, you know what? We got more to offer. Now, once again, this is like for only this year only, considering the rule that was put into place. But if you are an LSU fan, you got to be like, all right, do we just appreciate the will to win and the willingness to do everything you can to win? Or in some ways, can you think to yourself, can we just be normal?
Yeah.
Like, can we just be normal? Why do we have to be at the center of this? We were already at the center of when Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss and we had to deal with the barbs that came our way. And we were like, you know what? That's what it takes to get him. We'll deal with that. Now you're going against the NFL?
How is this worth it?
And the tackle who was on his backside when Carson Beck, of all people, is running into the end zone.
Biggest play of Ole Miss's.
The last, 40 years of Ole Miss football?
I mean,
longer than that.
I always say since integration, but it is basically since integration.
Yeah, the biggest play since Archie Manning was playing for them, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, again, how much money LSU spent on this entire project on getting Lane Kiffin here, getting him the team, getting him the coaches, like all of this. Like you said, the backlash, the being the villains. And it's like, we're going to add to the villainy for a guy that was going to get cut by the Cleveland Browns and is, again, going to be the backup because not only do they have a better tight end, I saw today, they have a better tight end who's wearing number 7.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. They gave him the coveted number 7. That's how highly thought of this tight end is.
Like, okay, sure, guy. Like, I was telling you, if this was like a Texas coach's first offseason, I'd be like, oh my God, we're doing all this for a fifth-year backup tight end? Like, this cannot be worth it. This cannot be the plan that you have. I get it. Like, try to get talent by any means necessary. This cannot be an efficient way to use whatever funds and time that is being used. Like, I would rather have this money cannon fired at a recruit in, 2027. Like, I just would rather that is a long-term plan I would believe in more than two guys from LSU or from Ole Miss, one of which trashed you on the way out.
And yet, here we are. Now, that player, Xavier Harris, is currently in Baton Rouge. There's a former Notre Dame defensive end who has interest in LSU, who committed to LSU, or he committed to LSU out of high school, and he wants to transfer to LSU. Out of the transfer portal. Yeah, I was right originally. He never signed with the NFL team, but according to the guidelines, if he did not withdraw from the draft, that still keeps him from playing, or at least, well, he could be on LSU's roster, but if they play him, then they're up for a giant punishment, which is how the SEC has tried to avoid the legal fight of ruling players ineligible. So this story will continue, but as it stands now, the SEC has come out strong against all the machinations of LSU to try to get guys who could be pros or at least could be at the bottom of a practice squad roster. They're still trying to grab these guys. We'll see how it goes. Speaking of LSU, let's hear about a former LSU receiver.
Hey, there we go.
The Texans have a guy who just wants to be in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What high school class was this guy in? Oh, my God.
Kayshon Booty's too old to play for LSU again, we think. He is a Texan, recently acquired, and after practice today, DeMeco Ryans was asked about him. This is the first time we've heard from the Texans on the trade for Kayshon Booty. Here is DeMeco on his new receiver.
Yeah, adding Kayshon was it's a big get for us. We know we lost a significant player for us in Jaden Higgins, and it's hard to replace him. When you try to go out and find a guy with the caliber of Kayshon, we've played against Kayshon multiple times over the past couple years. He's continued to make plays time and time again. He showed up. He's a young player, still an ascending player with a lot to improve upon, a lot to grow. So I'm excited to work with a young player who still has a very bright and promising future, that he has that big play-making ability already. So it's been great to have him so far. We'll get him up and rolling here as the week continues.
Yeah, only 24 years old. This will be his fourth year in the league. It's the fourth year in the league, so it's the final year of his rookie deal, sixth round pick out of LSU. So he'll get a chance. Does he turn that into a long-term solution for the Texans at that spot? That's up to him, and that's up to him and Xavier Hutchinson, actually. Who's going to win that job? We talked about it several times that you can be excited. You can hope for the best. You can believe in him. But we have evidence that another franchise saw the sixth-round pick for 3 years and said, not good enough. We're going to really add to our wide receiver core. You're just in a different spot than the Patriots.
Yeah.
They did all their work early. You are forced into a spot to do your work now as far as upping your talent in that room because of the Higgins injury. So I also will point out that DeMeco Ryans spoke glowingly about a couple defensive backs who were of at least higher pedigree when it came to draft status. The Jeff Okudas, the C.J. Hendersons. He has been excited about other guys that they bring into camp. Those guys kind of washed out as Texans. Now, Booty's got a clear runway to not doing that because, you know, there was a Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley in the way of Henderson and Okuda. It's a little different for Butte. I was really hoping that DeMeco would say his name. So I know officially how the Texans are saying his name, his last name at least. I'll go by Booty as it stands now. There's not a lot of obstruction to a real role here. It'll just be his opportunity, and we hope he takes advantage of it because the Texans need it. So that is the latest there on that move. Excited to have him, as you would expect. Good luck to all those involved. Hey,
be better than Xavier Hutchinson and Zay Jones. All right.
That's a low bar, particularly when it comes to Zay Jones.
But I believe in you, Kayshawn. I believe in you.
Yeah. As far as what happened on the field today, some numbers from a Panthers reporter regarding what the Texans defense did. This comes from Chase Justice. He's a sports anchor in that area covering the Panthers. Bryce Young, 9-17. Two picks, 7 sacks. Now, sacks in a joint practice, you know, when did the whistle blow? Would he have gotten out of that in a real game? Stuff like that. But 7 sacks for the Texans defense, according to a Panthers reporter. And the Texans offense had a much better day, you know, because they didn't give up 7 sacks. But they did have a major injury. If you missed it, Braden Smith was carted off the field. He is, as it stands now, if you just go by what we saw in the last preseason game and the fact that he opened up his team drill day being the right tackle for Davis Mills, not C.J. Stroud. He is your backup right tackle as it stands now. Maybe, because he was carted off the field, and that could mean a number of things. There was a time here when we were just getting into the game of talking about the Texans, at least having a person on site, where a young reporter just making his way in the game. I'm not talking about me, because I was a producer who took the call from the reporter acting as a stringer, who called in and said, Andre Johnson was carted off the field. Now, the Texans didn't have a lot going for them at the time, but they did have Andre Johnson. We got that news, and I still remember Lance's face. He was sitting in this chair. Well, not this chair. No way. It was this chair. But in this spot where I am, and the look of absolute dejection on his face as he heard that news, I still remember it to this day. One of my happiest moments watching Lance so sad, actually. But in reality, watching him and his reaction and then finding out that carted off the field meant he just rode a cart back to the locker room.
He just didn't walk back to the locker room.
We got that clarification like 20 minutes later. And it taught us a valuable lesson. Even when you have one of your own people on site, always get two sources.
Yeah, I mean,
but this one with Braden Smith appears different. He was down in pain on the field and then had to use a cart to get off the field.
Yeah, but maybe it's the flip side of everyone when Higgins walks under his own power being like, I think he's all right. And then, boom, season over.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the flip side.
Yeah.
It looks like his season's over. But
maybe he'll be fine.
Yeah, it's like Jake Odorizzi in that one Red Sox game.
We'll see. Texas defense dominant, not surprising. Texans offense played much better than the Panthers offense. Not surprising. The surprising and unfortunate news is Brent Smith had to leave the field and not under his own power. We'll see the results as we move forward throughout the day. We're going to the Golden Nugget. That's the next time you'll hear us. At least that's where you'll hear us from. Sean and I are going out there for the listener, or at least the ESPN 975 Fantasy Draft. We'll be out there for the next couple days. And next time we're in the city, we'll be at that party, the listener appreciation party at St. Arnold. It'll be a busy Friday for us. If you haven't gotten tickets to that party yet, I have not gotten confirmation that there will be more tickets available. For the people who have asked me about, hey, is there a way I can get in since I can't win? I'll get an answer from Joe. And then for you guys, maybe you'll get a little surprise. For everyone else, I got nothing for you. Just how it is.
So quit asking.
Yeah. What did Nick Saban say?
Maybe that's... I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Yeah, if you're asking me, stop asking. We'll talk to you. Actually, is that just how we end the show, or you got something else? Sean.
The Astros are the cockroaches of baseball.
We're back in first place. Thanks, Ken Rosenthal.
I love Ken Rosenthal, hater of the day.
He won't stop.
I love it.
Until he stops talking about Jim Crane the way he's talking about him, we're going to continue to hear from Ken Rosenthal.
A hissy fit.
Jim Crane's biggest hater, Ken Rosenthal. If I'm Jim Crane, I was like, you wear a bow tie. I ain't worried about you. Rich Eisen up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.